Hi, and thanks for listening to another audio podcast from Creekside Community Church, Narangba, Queensland. For more information and resources, please visit our website at www.creekside.org.au.
Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my laying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them.
Thanks, Charlotte. You can all take a seat. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you. As we read it today, Lord, I pray that you and your spirit would just illuminate it to us and speak to us today. Lord, teach us what you want us to know about you and your goodness and your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome again, everyone. Thank you so much for coming to church, and particularly, Troy. I hope that good thing it's carpet down here. It's great to host you all today, and such a privilege it is to have Carmichael's staff here. And we just pray and hope that this will be an encouragement to you, a blessing to you today. And as we open God's word, I just pray that the Holy Spirit, that he will encourage you and that he will just uplift you today and encourage you in his word. And the message that he has to speak to us today may speak to your heart. So I just wanted to touch on a couple of things today, and this message today is around just helping to encourage us and to take Jesus' good news, the gospel, beyond the walls of our churches. Many churches represented here today, but we want to be a people that take the gospel beyond the walls of the church, right? Into our personal, beyond our personal lives, but into our communities, into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces. Being a follower of Jesus is not just about consuming knowledge about God, although which is good and important, but it's so much more than that. Being a disciple of Jesus is being a learner and a follower. A follower of Jesus, which means to love like him, to become like him, wanting what he wants, thinking what he thinks, doing what he does, to the end goal of bringing him glory. That is our goal and that is our mission together. Now, you might not be a Christian here today. You might be visiting for the first time in church. And I want to let you know that you are off the hook, sort of, as it were. You can just sit back and encourage you to listen. I encourage you to see what God might be saying to you today as well. And I hope and pray that you may see Jesus and see who he really is today. So This is the one main message that I want to point out today is this. You are uniquely made and uniquely placed for a divine purpose. We are his people. We are a people who are uniquely wired, different from each other. We're uniquely placed in a time, in a place and a unique time for a common purpose of joining with God in his plan of renewal, redemption, and reconciliation of all things to him. What a privilege to be a part of that. What a privilege. And that's what I want to encourage you today, that you are uniquely wired, uniquely placed for a divine purpose. And many of you who have been around church long enough, you would have heard of this verse, this passage today in Psalm 139 and know it well. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing. There's so much in this. There's such just such depth in this whole passage. But I just want to touch on a couple of words. It's poetic words and read so beautifully by Charlotte, but I want to touch on a few verses here. In verse 13, it says this. It says, You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So let's just stop there for a minute. Now, this verse is often a cliche. If you grew up in church, it's probably a cliche. Your mum, your grandmother probably knitted it on a jumper and gave it to you. And your parent, you rolled your eyes every time your parents said, you got to wear this jumper as we go and visit grandma. Or you might have seen it on your grandparents. It's just put on the wall. It's a typical cliche Christian church, a Christian message or verse. But we have to look past that cliche, right? This was actually written by a king. It was written by a warrior, someone who went to battle. And it's the truth that all of us need to hear. It's not just to make our hearts feel fuzzy and nice inside. What King David is saying here is that the God that formed the Milky Way, the galaxies and every living thing that exists, he knew you and he formed you right at the beginning of your inception. Let's keep reading. It says this. It says, for your works are wonderful. I know them full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, in the womb. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And a few things I want to point out about this amazing passage. And first is this, it's a beautiful poetry. And maybe you're not a Christian here and you're thinking, I just want to say, as Christians, we do not think that Jesus, God, has literally got his hands in the womb and he's knitting us together with needles. Don't worry, we actually do know where babies come from and biology and how all that works. But what David is saying here is that underneath the biology, underneath the DNA, the cells, the tissues, the organs, the systems that make up our body, underneath the stuff that makes all this work, there is a God at work. There is a creator working for his good purposes. What does this mean? What do we see here? It says, you formed me in my inner parts, my frame was not hidden from you. I am woven together. His eyes saw my unformed body. What he's talking about is that you are uniquely made. I am uniquely wired. And I have a friend who runs multiple successful businesses, manages hundreds of staff, who is a patron for the gospel, for the work of the gospel. And the way God uniquely wired him and made him and formed him with this hyperactive nature combined with a tenacity to get things done. And those two things got him in trouble with his mum all the time when he was a boy. The hyperactiveness just got him always in trouble. But God knew and had a plan for him. What does it say in verse 16? It says, the days that were formed for me, they were formed for him. And when God saw my friend's unformed body and started to form his inner parts, weaving him together, put a little bit of dash of hyperactiveness in there, put a dash of tenacity, and he used those things for his divine purposes, for the advancement of the gospel, his plan of restoration, renewal, and reconciliation of all things back to him. And this is true of me. It's true of you. It's true of all of us. Another example of this is my sister, Caitlin. Many of you know my sister. She used to work here last year at Carmichael. And one thing you don't know about her, and I'm not sure of the nice way to say this, but she was the unplanned child in our family. For almost all my childhood, I had an older brother 2 years older than me and a younger sister 2 years younger. A nice, neat little family. Mum, dad, 3 kids. Perfect kids, of course. All planned out, or at least they thought so, 10 years after the second one came along, Caitlin. So Mum and Dad were like, oops. And I say, Caitlin is the oops baby, right? But the point here is that God doesn't do anything by accident. Although Mum and Dad certainly didn't plan to have Caitlin, God did. He formed her inward parts knitted her together in her mother's womb. And in verse 3, if we go back in verse 3, it says this, you discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. 12 years before Caitlin was born, my parents were called to be missionaries to the Philippines, a very Spanish-influenced country, and some of you will know that connection. We lived in this remote tribal village in the southern parts of the Philippines, and she grew up learning two languages, English and the tribal language. And later on, our older kids came back to Australia, and she remained in the Philippines with my parents, and essentially she was an only child for many parts of her childhood. But in those moments, like, God was forming her to be a fearlessly independent woman. And now she's got 2 degrees, international studies, majoring in Spanish, an education degree, and she actually spent 6 months in Spain, something that I probably would never do. I don't have that much courage and independence. And now she's answered God's call on her life to be a missionary teacher in Mexico, a Spanish-speaking country. And she is there to teach the children of missionaries so that they can go out and proclaim the gospel who so desperately need reconciliation with God. So Caitlin is uniquely wired, uniquely formed, uniquely placed for a divine purpose. And God didn't do it on accident. And God's purpose for you and I as a Christian is part of his divine plan to restore, to renew, to redeem, and to reconcile all things back to him, the author of life and of everything. Our author, our creator. And this is his divine plan. And for many of you, I hope and pray that this is an encouraging reminder, but for some of you may not even be convinced of the truth of it. And I'm not here to try and convince you that this is true, but I want to share with you something that has helped me to understand God, understand my faith and my purpose in life. And one of those things is C.S. Lewis talked about it, and C.S. Lewis is the author of the Narnia books. He's a great philosopher and one of the best Christian thinkers of the 20th century. And Lewis often talked about the relationship between Hamlet and Shakespeare, or the character of a book and his author. And I love this analogy because of author and character. It's so powerful and helpful to understand God and the reality of him. For example, let's ask the question of the famous book character, Sherlock Holmes. Well, ask this question, why did Sherlock Holmes move into Baker Street? Now, you could either answer this question by saying because he was looking for a roommate and he needed to save money, or you could say because the author, Arthur Conan Doyle, wanted him to be there for a greater reason. Both of these answers do not compete with each other, and both can be true at the same time. It could be that there is low rent on Baker Street, and Arthur Conan Doyle also needs him to be in Baker Street in order to meet Watson and to advance the plot of the story. And in the same way, you have been chosen to come and work here at Carmichael because you need a job to pay the bills, right? Or you might have bought a house down the road because you loved the kitchen and it was in your price range. But at the same time, God, the author of all things, is also advancing the plot in his story to restore and renew and reconcile you to God. But not only you, but your workplace, your neighborhood, your community, this campus community. And maybe you're not a Christian today and you're thinking, I don't even know about all this. I don't know if God is even real. Science can't prove that God exists. So how can I know that there is an author of life? But what is science, right? Science is the discovery of laws that tell us about how the world works. But to use the author character analogy, if we were to dig up and discover a copy of this book, The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, and immediately you'd have to say that it's been designed, right? There has to be an author who wrote it, because as we look closer and we look at the book, you can see that it obeys certain rules. There are these symbols put together into words, and these words form a sentence, and at the end of each sentence there's a big dot or a little dot, right? And there are two different types of symbols, one big A and one little A. And if it's the beginning of a sentence, it starts with the big symbol. So it seems that the way these sentences are constructed seems to follow these laws of literacy. And these laws tell us that there is an author to the book, in the same way that the laws of science demonstrate there is a lawgiver. And there is an intelligence designer behind everything, the creator, the author of the universe, and the author of our lives. And if God did create everything, which includes space, time, matter, he needs to be outside of space, time, matter, right? Outside of that which science uses to actually observe the world. A scientist looking for scientific evidence for God inside space, time, and matter is like Sherlock Holmes going up into the attic of his Baker Street home looking for Arthur Conan Doyle. He's not going to necessarily find him up there writing the story, the one putting the whole story together. But we need to remember who we are in this analogy. We're the character in this, we're in the story. We are part of God's plan, his story that he is writing. And this is so important. And there's two reasons I want to point out why this is so important. First is this: to understand the Christian story, we have to understand that the only way for us to know the author, to know God, is if he did something to reveal himself to us. Sherlock Holmes can only know Arthur if Arthur was to write himself into the story. The only way we can know God is if he writes himself into this story. And if that happens, and it has happened, he has done that. He created us. He looks at us and he sees us and he loves us. And he wrote himself into the story. And at great cost to himself. Right? Jesus, God himself, came into the story to seek and save the lost, to seek and save you and me. It says at the beginning of the Gospel of John, it says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. God wrote himself into the story. And we can only know God, the author, through Jesus. And the second reason why this is so important is because if we don't grasp this, we don't grasp that there is an author that is sovereignly writing out this grand story, then we will never come to grips as to where we fit into the greatest story ever told. You will never discover the divine purpose for your life, which is this: his plans and purposes is to renew, redeem and reconcile all things back to him for our joy and for his glory. It is to renew, redeem and reconcile all things back to him. And what's the common prefix in these three words? You don't need to answer this. I don't want to patronize you because you all know. Re. What's the prefix here? Kids, if you're in the room, you can ask your teachers tomorrow. Ask your English teachers. So the RE prefix, which means back, it means again, back, or to repeat. And this is the biblical story, right? This is God's story. God created a perfect world. It was once perfect. And we all know that it's no longer perfect. You and I are not perfect anymore, because sin has entered the world, it has broken the world, and it has broken us. That's the bad news. But there is good news. The good news is that God's purpose and plan is to renew all creation back to its perfect original state. His plan is to redeem us as his people through the life and death of Jesus on our behalf, healing us from all our brokenness and freeing us from the bondage and condemnation of sin and reconciling us back into relationship with God. The author of life, our Father in heaven, is redeeming, is renewing, redeeming, and reconciling. I love it how Albert Walters, a professor of religion in Redeemer University in the States, he puts it like this. He says, what was formed in creation has been historically deformed by sin and must be reformed in Christ. And this is universally true for all of the world, a broken world, but it is also true for you and I individually. We have all been formed in creation by God, but we have been deformed by sin and need reforming and renewing in Christ. And if you have never said to God, I need renewal, I need restoration, I need redeeming, I need reconciliation with my Father in heaven, my author, today's the day to do that. And we plead with you to come maybe after service and we can talk to you more about that. But if you're a Christian today, I want you to know this, the Christian life is not a one-off decision that we make and we just thank Jesus for taking the punishment of my sin and then we go on with our lives. It's so much more than that. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is about a continual renewal, a continual restoration, a continual reforming and reconciliation back to our God. That is what God's story is about. That is the greatest story ever told. And I shared a couple of verses with the devotions with the staff on Monday. And I wanted to just bring them up again. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says this. He says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praise of the one who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. I love this passage. And what I love about it, it says that we were saved on purpose for a purpose. God saved us intentionally. He saved us on purpose and saved us for a purpose. And that is so that we may proclaim his excellence of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light to proclaim his renewal and redemption story. To proclaim that he has redeemed me and he's reconciled me to him. He is renewing me and restoring me. And he is doing it all around the world and he wants us to be a part of that plan, a part of that story. I love what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:20. And I shared this on Monday as well. He says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ since God is making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to your author. That is our divine job description. Now, you have a job description. We all have got job descriptions, right? We might be a project manager, computer engineer, a nurse, a year three teacher. But God's job description for us is that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are to plead on Christ's behalf, using every opportunity God gives us to say to people, be reconciled to God. Now, I'll just ask the band to come up as I finish. And I just want to say that we are going to spend about 100,000 hours of our life at work. That's a lot of hours. And if you and I don't take hold of what I'm talking about today, you will feel that your life and your discipleship is going to have a serious deficiency. So if we don't see and grasp God's big plan, God's big story for our lives and how Jesus is renewing, doing a work of renewal and redemption and reconciliation, we will not grasp how our day-to-day job really, really matters. Work matters. It's a central part of our identity as people made in the image of God. Because God is a worker. He's a creator. So to follow God and imitate our Father in heaven is to be someone who grasps that purpose of calling, of renewal, redeeming, and reconciling in everything that we do. The way a surgeon repairs the body, the way an IT consultant builds and creates computer software systems to fix problems. He's restoring things. The way your teachers, you're patient with the development of your students. The way an artist takes raw material and renew them into a beautiful image. A songwriter uses notes to turn a sound into a masterpiece that speaks to the heart. It's all part of the plan, of beauty, truth, and goodness. All these things done with the holy intent, as Peter puts it, proclaim praise to God. So there's purpose in everything that we do, and they bring us a deep joy in our soul that God intentionally formed in us, in our mother's womb, to experience that joy when we actually bring Him praise and glory. He made us to experience the deepest joy when we praise Him. And as Peter says, we are Christian. As Christians, we are priests in the world, offering ourselves as living sacrifices to the Lord. So when we go out to work tomorrow, remember that our job is to proclaim the greatest story ever told, to tell people that you are part of God's divine story of the renewal of all things, and to plea on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. So church, Carmichael staff, let us go on this mission, this commission that Simon talked about, that Jesus commanded us to do, as people who are uniquely wired, uniquely placed in a unique time for a common purpose of joining God in His purpose of renewal, redeeming and reconciling all things back to Him. And for what? One last slide says there, for what? It's for the joy, for our joy, and for His glory. That's why. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. You are the author of life. You are the author of all things. You're the creator of the stars in the sky, the galaxies, the Milky Way, the universe is Your masterpiece. We are Your masterpiece. We thank You for Your redemptive plan, Your plan to restore and renew, Lord. We pray that You just continue to do that in our hearts, that we may humbly come before You and say, Lord, I cannot. I try and I try and I try, and I cannot fix the problems. I cannot fix my brokenness. I cannot pay for the sins of rebelling against a holy and good God, but only You, Jesus, can do that. May we have hearts that submit ourselves to You, Lord God, and say, Jesus, thank You for repairing me, for renewing me, for reconciling me to my Father in heaven. Thank You for paying the sin that holds me as a barrier towards that relationship that I want with You, God. We thank You. I just pray for anyone in this room, maybe hearing this for the very first time, Lord, I pray that You will just move them towards You, that they will see